Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are excited to chat it up with the guests that we have on the phone today. We want to welcome to KDWA Aaron Wickbold. He is a physical therapist with Courage Kenny in Hastings, and he's joined today by Brooke Rehm. She is a physical therapy student, and she has been under the tutelage of Aaron for a bit of time, so we're going to learn more about that as well. Welcome to you both. How have you been?
Doing great.
Wonderful. So first of all, Brooke, welcome to KDWA, and can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, yeah. I grew up in a small town of Hennings, Minnesota, and I'm going up to school at the University of North Dakota up in Grand Forks.
And how far along are you in your physical therapy program, please?
My last year, so third year of PT school.
Wonderful. Congratulations to you. So what was your undergrad degree in, and then how have you progressed?
Yeah, up at UND, we can do a 3-in-3 program. So that means you can do 3 years of undergrad and kind of skip your degree and move on to the DPT program. So then within your first year of PT school, you kind of get a bachelor's of general sciences and emphasis in the health sciences. So that's kind of the route that I took to save a little money.
And what have you learned during this program? I mean, what made you want to become a physical therapist?
Yeah, I was a physical therapy patient back in the day when I was in high school sports. So that's kind of how I developed the passion to help people. And I like the aspect of seeing patients multiple times a week and instead of just seeing them for that short little session and seeing them every couple months.
And then what about working at the Courage Kenny Center in Hastings? How has that been?
Been pretty great so far. Yeah, everyone is super friendly, and I think that's the family-friendly atmosphere that is what I like the most about the Hastings Clinic here.
And what are you treating most often?
Kind of a little bit of everything, since it's more of the rural, suburban area. So some shoulders, some knees, hips, feet, everything.
Wow. Well, I know today, Aaron, we want to chat it up about knee injuries. And first of all, how have things been during the pandemic for you as a physical therapist? What are some of the changes that you've had to make?
They've been pretty good lately. We have had full schedules for all of our therapists. Originally, when everything shut down about a year ago, we did have semi-closure of our clinic where we did have only essential patients being seen for about 2 months. Since then, so since about last June, we opened back up with precautions with masking and social distancing, and everything has been almost back to normal for the most part with caseload and with people that we're seeing, and we're back to seeing all diagnoses, and so it's actually been really great.
I bet that is. So when you mentioned that you were only seeing essential patients, what made a patient essential back in the day?
So it was any patient that would have a deleterious effect from not being seen by physical therapy. So it would be someone that's, most of our patients were people that were either acute injuries, meaning just an injury in the last week, or it was somebody that was recovering from a surgery. So there were a lot of patients that had their surgery just before the pandemic hit. And if they didn't see physical therapy, they would have problems like, especially with like a knee surgery, their knee getting tight and them not getting their range of motion back, and then not being able to walk properly. So we saw those patients throughout the entire pandemic.
Well, let's talk about knees, because you wanted to chat about those injuries in particular. And is it mostly knee injuries that you see, or is it people that are recovering from some sort of knee surgery? And then I'm curious to know, what are the different kinds of knee surgeries? Because everybody seems to have a different recovery rate.
Yeah, so we see a little bit of both. A total knee is what a lot of people are familiar with. That's when the orthopedic surgeon will go in and put a plastic and metal knee in, because their two bones and the knee joint are arthritic and they're rubbing together and causing severe pain. So that's the most common knee surgery that we see, kind of our bread and butter. There's over 600,000 performed in the United States per year. So we see a lot of total knees done We also see a lot of ACLs, so not only in the athletic population, but we do see a lot of people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s that require ACL surgery as well. But it is more of the athletic population, 16, 17, 18-year-olds, and some college athletes that we do see in the clinic here as well. And then one of the more common surgeries for people in their 40s and 50s would be someone's meniscus would tear. And so the surgeon would go in and either repair that or take out pieces of that meniscus, and then we would rehab them from there. So that surgery is probably the least, if they're just going to go in and take out pieces of cartilage or pieces of torn meniscus, that's the least intense therapy that they would need. The ACL and the total knee require, for the total knee, usually about 6 to 12 weeks of therapy, and then for the ACL, that's a long haul. That's usually up to a year of therapy, really intense 12 to 16 weeks of therapy where we're seeing them twice a week, and then after that, checking in monthly, usually.
So what is a meniscus?
So the meniscus is you have padding in between the thigh bone and then your shin bone, and the meniscus it's the padding in between those two bones. You have the meniscus, and then you also have what's called cartilage in between your knee, and so those two things really provide a smooth surface for your knee to glide back and forth and to bend without having pain. So if that meniscus tears, you can have a couple things happen. You can have the flap of the meniscus that tore actually restrict your knee from bending and getting stuck in certain positions, or it can be torn where you're having pain with bending your knee. And so you'd have pain with bending your knee, weight-bearing, walking, going up and down stairs.
And is that something that would be an injury then, or is that something that it just wore out?
It can be a little of both. And so when we think about a meniscus tear, that leads to breakdown of the other, the cartilage, the other thing I was talking about. So we can see a meniscus tear due to previous injuries or someone's knee that is older, someone in their 50s or 60s, where it's worn out and we see a degenerative tear. However, in the younger population, we'll usually see a more traumatic tear, so twisting motion of the knee, a deep knee bend, and patients might report a pop with that and have severe pain with after that pop.
So as far as your ACL, what exactly is that? Because I've heard of that injury quite a bit in sports.
So the ACL is a really important ligament that's in your knee. So a ligament connects bone to bone. So it is a ligament that restricts rotation of your knee and is connected to the shin bone and the thigh bone. And what will happen in an athletic event, usually when the athlete is tired, what will happen is their knee will normally turn in and the athlete again will hear a pop and their knee will usually give out. They'll usually hit the deck. And a very long process to recover from an ACL surgery. Like I said, that's usually a 12-month process.
Are you seeing that mm-hmm. a lot of these injuries, they're happening to kids younger and younger?
I don't know if I would say the overall trend is younger and younger. Over the past, 5 years, I would say that they're probably pretty stable. I think probably when we got to a stage in our culture where we were pushing younger athletics, yes, it probably picked up at that time, but I think we're probably at a stage right now with athletics that were pretty stable for the past 5 years.
Are knee injuries necessarily hereditary?
They can be. Yeah, actually, ACL injuries, one of the causes is that you have a smaller notch in your knee, in one of the bones, where that ACL actually could tear easier for some people. And then also how your hips are aligned also can be a factor in if you're predisposed to tear your ACL or not.
And what can we do to help keep our knees healthy?
So I think the biggest thing that you can do to help keep your knee healthy is keep your muscles strong. So everything from up above your knee and below your knee affects your knee. So your core, which is like your abdominal muscles or your hip muscles, keeping those strong, as well as having good footwear too, especially during those athletic events that Aaron was talking about too.
And how does that work though? How does keeping your core healthy help keep your knees healthy?
Yeah, so the core kind of is what's above the knee. So the hip joint and everything above affects below. So if you're hobbling along at your hips when you're walking, if you're leaning over sideways, you're putting extra pressure through those knees.
And what about your joints? Where do they fit into all of this? Because I know some people take joint medication, you know, it's like an over-the-counter thing. What do you think about that?
For physical therapy, I can't give any recommendations on certain medications, but I know that the evidence behind a lot of certain joint medications is not the greatest, and it'd be something to discuss with your physician to see if it would be appropriate for you. As we see injuries more from a physical therapy standpoint, when we see injuries earlier in life, so if someone would tear their ACL when they're 18 years old, unfortunately that is a great indicator that they're going to have arthritis and meniscus tears and cartilage damage later on in life, usually by 3 to 5 times greater incidence of someone that didn't have trauma earlier in their life.
So as far as knee injuries go, and I know a lot of people have put off having a total knee replacement because they were told don't do it too early or you might have to have another one on the same knee before you die. Is there truth to that? Do knee replacements only, do they have a shelf life?
Yeah, there's definitely a shelf life, and it matters how much you use that knee and if you're good through that knee. I mean, there's certain patients that will run on their total joints and that wears them down faster. You're not advised to do impact activity once you get a total joint, whether it's a total knee or a total hip. However, that does happen. Typically for total joints, you can give an age range of 15 to 25 years for those total joints. So if you're getting one really early in your life, there's a chance that you can wear it down and potentially need another total joint. So for physical therapy, what we do is we try to strengthen the knee, all the muscles around the knee. We try to promote increased range of motion. We see a lot of, when anybody has arthritis in their knee, they're going to start to lose their range of motion, so they won't be able to, the most important one is be able to straighten out their knee as well. And so they'll walk with a limp. They'll usually walk with kind of a flexed knee all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be really damaging, and that can actually make rehab harder after their total knee replacement if they really don't work on that prior to their knee replacement. So we really like to get our hands on those patients prior to their knee surgeries so that we can work on their range of motion, we can work on their strength. So even if they do need their total knee, that the outcomes will be much better if we work with them prior to their surgery.
And how much prior? Do you need us a couple months?
Well, actually, I like to, when they're first diagnosed with arthritis in their knee, I like to have a few sessions with that person to teach them the importance of maintaining their range of motion. So teaching each patient what's appropriate range of motion to have, why it's so important. And then I also like teaching them usually around 3 to 5 exercises, pretty basic exercises to continue to do. And then also if they're having more problems down the line, they know where to come. And so I like to see them first when they get diagnosed with arthritis. And then, yeah, a few months prior to the surgery, it's good to have a check-in with those patients to see where they're at, to take measurements of where their knee range of motion is at, and check out their strength. We also look at the ankle and the hip too, and also the core muscles, like Brooke was talking about earlier, to make sure that there's no huge deficiencies in those muscles as well, because those are great things to address prior to the surgery. Because once you have that surgery, it's a tough recovery, and you're in a lot of pain, your knee is swollen, and you don't want to be thinking about other things like the hip and the ankle when you're recovering.
And how many people, what percentage do you think actually do this pre-surgery therapy?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm not exactly sure on the number. I know that the physicians that typically refer their post-surgicals to us are pretty good at referring them to physical therapy prior to going for surgery. So, but that's going to depend on the surgeon. That's going to depend on what the philosophy of each surgical group is. I know that the surgeons in this area prefer to refer to us prior to the surgery, which is a great thing.
I agree. Well, we learned a lot. Thank you so much. Our guest today, Aaron Wickbold, he's a physical therapist at Courage Kenny in Hastings. And Brooke Green, she is finishing up her physical therapy degree. And we're thrilled that she took the time to chat with us as well. Aaron, if people want to learn more, or can they contact you directly, or do you have to get a referral to come for physical therapy?
Typically, yes. You need a referral if you are under Medicare or Medicaid. If you have private insurance, actually, you can come and see one of the therapists at Courage Kenny by direct referral. So you can just call our front desk and you can come right in. And usually if you contact your primary, they can also give you a referral for physical therapy as well.
We really appreciate it. Great information. Thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Two, one.